Practically every kid goes through a phase of wanting to be a rock and roll star. Salman Ahmad did. In 1981, while his Pakistani family was living in New York, he wanted nothing more than to play guitar and be in a band for the rest of his life. And he's well on his way. His group is called Janoon and is South Asia's biggest rock band. Ahmad was a featured performer at the 2007 Nobel Prize ceremony. He currently teaches a course on Muslim music and poetry at New York's Queens College and is the author of a memoir called Rock and Roll Jihad. When Anne Strainchamps talked with Salman Ahmad, she wondered about his book's title. And after all, jihad is a word that makes Americans suspicious.
If you grew up in a Pakistani family or if you grew up in a Muslim family, and as a child, you know, the J word is... Jihad is a word for self-improvement, for effort, for striving to overcome limitations, transcending your ego. But on 9/11, Osama bin Laden and his henchmen, you know, they hijacked jihad, they hijacked Islam. And I feel that way too much emphasis is focused on basically jihad, you know, being like this sort of fear-inducing word, an ugly word. And I think it's time, at least for me, to own a good word.
So it sounds like for you growing up, jihad was a beautiful word.
Yeah, you know, it's like for me, if I had to explain, Mahatma Gandhi's struggle for independence was a jihad. Martin Luther King's struggle for civil rights, you know, was a jihad. It's that sort of a positive thing, not about, you know, killing people and flying planes into buildings.
Mm. Well, just as one example, just one meaning rock and roll jihad has in your book. We should talk about an initiative of yours, Pakistani Hai Hamara, the Pakistan is Ours initiative.
Absolutely, yeah. The question is, how do you defeat brand Taliban? And Pakistan Hai Hamara means ours. It's a social movement that we're hoping to spark or have begun to spark through arts and culture, through civil society. And the aim is to really take back the heritage.
Hmm. So you're sort of like you're founding a jihad, an army of your own. It's just not a military army. The Hai Hamara, Pakistan Hai Hamara initiative takes its name partly from a song you wrote, doesn't it?
Yeah. You know, there was a song which really put Janoon, you know, it got to be known in Pakistan through a song called Jazba-e-Junoon, The Spirit of Passion. And one of the lines in that is Pakistan hai hamara, Pakistan is ours. And I mean, this was written back in 96. It was the theme song to the 1996 Cricket World Cup. Now I think that song symbolizes a striving against, you know, all these issues of, you know, poverty and injustice and terrorism. Each time I go back to Pakistan, that song is playing, you know, not just amongst the youth, but everywhere. It's a symbol of sort of struggle. So last summer in England, it was the Cricket World Cup, and the Taliban had sort of spread this terror across the country. The cricket team couldn't even practice. International teams weren't coming in, so no one gave the team any chance at all when they came. And in the earlier matches, they seemed to play like the Bad News Bears, you know, and they were quickly written off. But then there's the spirit of passion in the DNA of Pakistanis, and they came back from the dead to win the World Cup final at Lord's. And the amazing thing was that wherever there were celebrations, especially in Pakistan, people threw caution to the winds, young people came out on the streets, girls were dancing on top of cars, and the song that was being played was Jazba-e-Junoon.
Bye. That was one of Janoon's first big hits. We should talk about some of your new music. One of the songs on your new album expresses also some of what you've been saying here, I think. Love, Can You Take Me Back?
Yeah, Love, Can You Take Me Back. Yeah, it's a song about rebooting. You know, going back to what's closest to your heart. And I wrote this for the soundtrack to the book, Rock and Roll Jihad. It's an album of 10 songs, 5 of which are in English and 5 which are Sufi rock songs, you know, that Janoon performed at the UN General Assembly in September of 2009.
Earth and sky, a beautiful illusion. Our love will survive a nuclear explosion. A time and a space beyond confusion. When you see with the heart, the mass come tumbling down. Love, can you take me back? Love, will you take me back? Love, would you take me back? Where I belong.
You know, we should put your whole career in some context, because it may not really be evident to Western listeners, for instance, how rock and roll can even constitute a jihad. So to put that in context, you tell a wonderful story in the book about, as you said, you're this kid who's just had 6 years at an American high school. You get yanked out and taken back to Pakistan with your family and enrolled in medical school there. And you'd had a band in the U.S. In fact, your band won the Battle of the Bands at Tappan High School. So you thought, oh, well, I'll perform at this talent show at your college. Can you describe what happened that night?
Well, I mean, it seemed as if I'd sort of gone from one culture shock, you know, coming to a New York suburb in the middle of the era of heavy metal, and then landed 6 years later onto another planet with another culture shock, because the Pakistan that I was born into was, you know, democratic. Music, poetry, theater, dance was, you know, it was all homegrown and, you know, proudly declared. And when I went back to study medicine, there was just a sea change, complete cultural, political, religious. A military dictator, General Zia-ul-Haq, was in power. It was like having the Taliban in power. So no music on TV, no music on radio, no live performances. The music clubs that had been operating in Pakistan prior to 1979 or 77, you know, were shut down. So I found myself really looking at music as a lifesaver, literally. And so my colleagues at medical school in Lahore, we put together this sort of gong show. It was like a talent show. Anybody who could do anything, you know, could come up and have their 5 minutes of fame. I knew how to play Eddie Van Halen's Eruption, you know, which is fast, sort of heavy metal guitar solo, finger tapping. And I got up on stage and I thought, you know, this is my moment. I'm going to be a rock star. And I closed my eyes and I started playing Eruption. And lo and behold, you know, I heard screams and shrieks. And I said, wow, man, you know, I felt like that kid from Back to the Future, Michael J. Fox.
They love me.
They love me. Right. So when I opened my eyes, that wasn't the case.
Well, the hardline fundamentalists just were exploded. People were appalled at what
they gatecrashed. They gatecrashed, and they found this Les Paul of mine to be the most sort of hideous tool, you know, of Satan. And one of them came and he grabbed the Les Paul from me and he smashed it on the marble floor. And he yelled out, you know, "Fahshi, harami," it means vulgarity, you bastard. You know, how dare you play this instrument here? That was my introduction back into Pakistan.
Lonely. Let's talk just a little bit about some of the barriers that have built up between America and the Muslim world. I mean, you know, today, for example, the U.S. is continuing to try to hunt down al-Qaeda's terrorists, many of whom are widely assumed to be living in Pakistan. So Pakistan, in the minds of many people in this country, is implicated in the war on terrorism. How does that make you feel?
When I went back in college to study medicine, there was another war happening in Afghanistan. And as you know, the Soviets were in Afghanistan, and Pakistan, which was a U.S. ally, despite the fact that the military dictatorship was stepping on human rights at home and were like the Taliban themselves, but they were allied to the West in the fight against the Soviets. And many of these fighters, the Mujahideen, you know, who later became, you know, like the Taliban, and, you know, Osama bin Laden was one of those people who were fighting against the Soviets. You know, we were allies. Muslim blood was shed to fight against the Soviets. But after the Cold War ended, the West just forgot about us. And that's a real narrative which everyone talks about. Anywhere you go in Pakistan, from a child to an old man to a woman to a student, they'll say, well, you know, when you needed us, we were there, and then we were just cast away. So I think here what I would say is communication, communication, communication. The speech that President Obama made in Cairo, that's a hit song. You know, as a musician, when I heard it, you know, listening from a Muslim perspective, he put together a speech which really spoke to the Muslim world, not only with respect, but also with a real knowledge of what's had happened before. So I would say the beginning of any kind of a movement towards sort of mutual respect and mutual interest is that you have to sing those songs over and over again. You know, mutual respect, mutual interest. Many, many Muslims around the world hear that and they said, yes, we are willing to engage.
Whose God is God, whose light is light, whose law is wrong, whose might is right. Here we are on the edge of change.
Salman Ahmad singing with Melissa Etheridge. Ahmad is the author of Rock and Roll Jihad, a Muslim rock star's revolution. He talked with Anne Strange Chaps.